And ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in here today. Henrik with Red Eyes TV. It's great to have you all with us. And today we have a special guest with us, Soph, who has been in the news recently when it comes to the smears from BuzzFeed, and specifically, of course, Joe Bernstein over there at BuzzFeed News. But Soph, it's great to have you with us. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. So why don't we just begin talking a little bit about your channel first before we get going to some of the new stuff that's been happening. Obviously, you've had your channel for, I don't know how long now, Lieutenant Corbis first. When did you set it up?
I've been doing YouTube since I was 9, and it's the content has completely changed over time.
Yeah, now you're, what, 14, so about 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're ruffling some feathers. You're some people don't like what you do. Now, obviously, for those, I think most of you guys watching and tuning in already know, but if you don't know the channel, definitely check it out. There's some hilarious, just scathing critique of the predicaments we're in terms of the modern age and much of the PC kind of environment, too. And how would you describe it? Just kind of a critique, I guess, of society and kind of the absurdities, really, right, of growing up, being your age and just seeing, I don't know, the decadence and the double standards and the weirdness of the modern world, right?
Yeah, pretty much just trying to make fun of and entertain people in the world we live in today, because as I've said in the interview, the current paradigm does not deserve to be taken seriously. I mean, there's just so much stuff going on that can be made fun of, and you know, it's easy to get blackpilled, and I hope I can, you know, make people laugh.
Yeah, I you certainly can. It's the there's a lot of funny stuff, and we'll definitely talk about some of this you know, later as well. I think the big one, I guess we have to pull up actually your BitChute to show that, because that has been removed from YouTube, I believe. The Be Not Afraid video has been removed. So tell us about that a little one, and why you think, because it seems it was after that video that you got the attention from BuzzFeed and other journalists as well, right?
Yeah, essentially YouTube, they striked it for hate speech. I'm not really sure what in it qualifies as hate speech. I guess you can't make fun of religions, even though people get away with making fun of Catholicism all the time and you know, calling all the members of the Catholic Church pedophiles. So I guess that must have been it. I can't, there's literally nothing else in the video that it could be, because I was just, talking about platforming itself. So
yeah, exactly. Very good video. I definitely recommend you guys check it out. And that seems to have been doing really well, even for BitChute standards. It's like almost 79,000 views on BitChute now. That's great.
Yeah.
So that gained a lot of traction, obviously. But let's kind of go through what happened here, then. So you've been doing videos for a long time, but I guess to actually tell the full story, so if we have to go back to that. What do we call it? I mean, YouTube's pedogate, for the lack of a better term, when they disabled all the comments, and this happened on your channel, right? Tell us about this.
Yeah, they notified me one day that they had disabled all the comments on my channel because that was a new policy, and there was no way I could really reverse that. It was, I knew it was coming, and I made a video in response to it, YouTube parental discretion advised. And in it, I made some comical and obviously ridiculous and threats that I wouldn't carry out against the YouTube CEO, Susan, and just to, you know, express
humor.
That I was...
Obvious jokes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, express that I was dissatisfied with what was going on, and that video got struck down for making threats and cyberbullying and harassment, so I have a re-upload there. And it actually got struck twice, which has happened to me before. I've had like 2 strikes at one time, so I almost got terminated back in 2016. But this time it got struck, and then like a month later they said it was okay, and then it got a strike again, I assume from mass flagging, and I still have not gotten a response on my appeal for that. So
interesting. Yeah. So obviously that re-upload, I would figure that is that without that little section about our friend
without
Wojcicki?
The Susan? Without the 2-minute intro.
Yeah. All right. So comments disabled across the channel, right? Every single video, no one can comment anymore.
I mean, the weird thing is though, all the comments were disabled when the decision was made, but every video I've uploaded after that has comments enabled, and I'm not sure what's going on there. Maybe they made a decision afterwards that they should let, you know, comments be enabled on my channel, but I can't enable them on all my other videos. It has a weird, like, settings thing that blocks that. So I'm not sure what's going on there.
Hmm, interesting. And it's curious, too, is YouTube, how they treat creators and stuff like that very poorly, obviously, especially those that are kind of on the edge and you know, trying to be, trying to bring something different to the table. But yeah. The fact is, why didn't they just punish the bad actors, those who were actually doing the, I mean, for those who don't know, this was basically a lot of rotten, perverted, disgusting, you know, people were linking to timestamps, right, in certain YouTube videos, which I would assume that they used for sexual reasons or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So instead then of YouTube disabling the comments, or not the comments, the people that actually did the commenting, I should say, they decided to do it on a number of channels, especially those that are for younger creators, right?
Yeah. I think it's a really unfair decision. I think it was made out of laziness, or they just don't have enough employment to take care of the situation manually, or using bots that detect this sort of thing. I just think it's they're claiming to protect children, but at the same time they're removing the privileges on our channels, and I find that kind of to be sort of like cognitive dissonance there, because they can pretty much do anything under the guise of protecting you, and I find that a very just, you know, bad decision.
Yeah, it's as usual. We're protecting you. It's for your own safety.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk about the most recent one. Here's a tweet from Nick Monroe talking about this, the BuzzFeed article, then Joe Bernstein. And this was, when was this? The 14th, the 13th of May?
I think it was on, I can't even remember.
Was it the Monday or something, wasn't it?
I don't know. But the last few days have been very eventful, so I have no
assume.
Idea.
Yeah, I think it was on the 13th, if I'm not mistaken. They did the decency of pixelating your face. But also, mm-hmm. of course, roped into this is it's a two-pronged attack. It's not only on you and targeting you and harassing you. And in a moment, we'll talk about the dangers of that, too, specifically when they misrepresent and put things in your, put words essentially in your mouth or projecting things upon you. But it's also an attack on YouTube as a platform, right? He even describes in the article that YouTube has there's a moral crisis at YouTube, for example, right? So what did you make of the article when you first saw it or encountered it?
I just thought it was ridiculous. I mean, at first I didn't even read the entirety of it because I was familiar with Joe Bernstein. I mean, as a fan of Sam Hyde, I was, you know, familiar with the whole $1 million extreme controversy.
He came out for you in support too, by the way.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I can't even believe that. But yep. I was really happy about that. But yeah, I knew that it was a smear just by the title. Something that some people don't know is that he emailed me first, promising that he wouldn't, well, pretty much asking me to respond and trying to be amicable and friendly and in a very like manipulative and predatory way. You know, promising me that he wasn't going to do a smear, promising me to not title the article like that, exactly how he titled it. And I, of course, I didn't respond to the email because I just found it very strange. I knew that he would not like someone like me. And, you know, I guess I was right about that one.
Yeah, you certainly were, you know. So it's I mean, absolutely despicable of seeing something like this and the attacks again. And the justification then on the attack on free speech, on your ability as a YouTube creator, but also just you know as a young teenager, to have your say and your, it's hilarious because this is of course a vast, huge double standard. In other regards, they can push teenagers to the forefront, and of course, people even did the comparison. See if I can find it here. But the one with what is it? Desmond is Amazing is an 11-year-old trans. Or a queer dresser, or what do you call it? Trans dresser?
Yeah, I guess a drag.
Drag
queen, whatever.
Dresser. Yeah, exactly. There you go. See if I can find that tweet here. But yeah, basically, essentially lifting behavior forward, which is incredibly inappropriate. And in other regards, they are attacking you. But tell us about your experience in school as well in the last few days as a consequence of this, because, you know, by lying about you in certain regards, and you can clarify that further, what you think was particularly dishonest in the article, but he's actually putting you at risk at your school as well. So tell us what's happened and how you feel about that.
Well, personally, I have a outlook that might not be typical for females my age. I don't really care what any of the people at school think of me, and I actually find it fun when they have disagreements with me, when they want to argue, when they want to be confrontational. You know, I enjoy those sorts of interactions. I think they're entertaining. But I can imagine if I wasn't like that, if I didn't have that outlook, my life would be, you know, I'd be very anxious right now. I'd be, you know, scared walking around the halls. I mean, just getting stares. I mean, I think that's funny, but for, I could see how like a normal kid wouldn't even want to go to school. And it's possible that this might, you know, result in some sort of physical conflict with someone. So I think, I mean, you know, the buddies of Joe and all of his journalist friends were even infighting with him about it, about, oh, you shouldn't have given her this much free advertising, or, oh, you're endangering her. I mean, something that I state in my video, these people are really good at infighting. So, yeah, they can't even agree on what way to, I guess, you know, get me off the platform.
Yeah, it's true. Here's that tweet I was looking for here. But, yeah, BuzzFeed News, YouTuber's newest far-right, foul-mouth, red-pilling star is a 14-year-old girl, right? So he's attacking you, good old Joe. yeah, here's a stranger keeps calling Child Protective Services on this 11-year-old drag star, which they then protect that kind of behavior for young people. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously, as you know, at this rate, it's a very skewed picture that we get from these individuals and very dishonest. Was there something in the article particularly that you feel is worthy to respond to, or like that you just felt was just a blatant lie or misrepresentation?
I mean, it's a pretty lengthy article, so I'd have to pull it up. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, we could go into it if you want to. But I just think it's weird that the double standard that these people draw, like somebody like Greta Thunberg is you know, bolstered everywhere, and everybody claims how woke she is, and nobody ever puts into question if she's being brainwashed or exploited. But with me having the opinions that I have, it's immediately, oh, she must be, you know, exploited by her parents to make money. Oh, she's just brainwashed by like a friend or her older brother, you know, all this stuff immediately. Like they can't even believe it, and they just immediately come out of the woodwork to discredit my work and smear me.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Greta Thunberg, she's from my neck of the woods. I'm Swedish. I'm from Sweden, and she has been pushed in a very, very interesting way. She's even being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I mean, she's got articles everywhere. She's, you know, influential person all over the magazines.
Supposedly, she actually visually can see carbon dioxide. Have you read that?
Yeah, I've read about
that. The only one, I would assume, in the world mm-hmm. that have that ability. But yeah. They're pushing her, and she actually has a disability too. Mm-hmm. You know, she has a number of mental kind of illnesses and stuff like that. And her mom is actually a famous opera singer in Sweden. Her dad, I can't remember if he was famous or anything like that. But her mom is, and so they have really, for the lack of a better term, pimping her for their own political reasons. And she's been kind of handpicked, you know, as a representative. But anyway, what do you make of it? I think you guys are. She's probably 2 years older than you, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't want to just as I wouldn't want somebody to immediately jump to the conclusion that I don't believe anything I say and I don't write any of the things, or I don't make the videos. I don't want to jump to the conclusion that she doesn't actually believe in climate change. But I just think it's a crazy double standard that they draw, that she's, you know, so brave to go against all these politicians, but I'm just a little fascist girl for saying the things that I say.
Exactly. Here's the line, right, Nick Cat at BuzzFeed Attacks. Surinam gets your handle on Twitter there. And accuses you of being an extremist and again, indoctrinated, right? So in this case, I mean, tell us about that. I mean, obviously, you're thinking for yourself. I know that some of the videos, if not all, you do write with another person, but otherwise it's all you guys' material, right? It's
mm-hmm.
no one has told you to do these videos or handling you and to do this and do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, my parents are, they vote Democrat, they're left-leaning, but as sort of, they believe in free speech, and they respect, dissenting opinions in the family, and I think that's a good value that classical liberals have. So my parents haven't really had any influence on my opinions in that regard. As for my collaborator, he's Vapora Boy on YouTube, He's a fellow Gen Zer, and you know we work on the scripts together, and people often say that he writes everything or something like that, but you know it's just like it's a 14 and 16 year old just sitting down writing on a Google Doc for a few hours and then just posting it. And you know the joke I made in the Be Not Afraid video is that it's pretty misogynist for these people to assume that it has to be a male writing all this stuff. So.
Well, exactly, because you're not from their belief system, from their side, because you're not left-leaning in that regard, and on their cultural Marxist page, or whatever you want to call it, globalist page, you have to be mind control indoctrinated. Someone is doing this. No one could possibly come to, have the views that they do if they come from this perspective. It's an immense double standard, to be honest. But there you go. That's what they've done. And again, let's remind people that some of these old tweets they call... and BuzzFeed is certainly not a stranger in calling all of their political enemies bad words. But did you see the tweet when he's actually talking about this kill a straight white man on your way to work tomorrow? Did you see that one?
Yeah, I've seen that. And it's just it's crazy because they can't even live up to their own standards, which just show how ridiculous their standards for, comedy and speech are. When you say it, it's not a joke. But when I say it, I can say kill a straight white man on your way to work tomorrow, and it's a joke for sure. Like, it's just so much. They can't even win by their own logic, and it's just ridiculous. And I love that I never had to make a statement, but he was so pressured by all the people pointing that out that he had to, apologize for it. I mean, it's just so funny.
Yeah, it is funny. You know what? I wanted to pull up this because in that tweet, actually, let me show this one here again. Do you see the one on the right there underneath from Becca Lewis? Do you know who that is, by the way? Do you know who Becca Lewis is?
No, I'm not familiar.
Let me pull this up. Becca Lewis is the woman on the top right, and she with two other women authored this report called the Alternative Influence Network Report. Now, they come from a group called Data and Society, which receives money from, among others, George Soros, the New York Times, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they, when they wrote this report, they did it specifically to get you, put pressure on YouTube to make sure that they start censoring. And actually, they followed suit in doing so afterwards. I definitely recommend to check that report out, you yourself as well, of course, but everyone out there listening and watching if you haven't seen it. So it's kind of telling that they move in a very small little circle, and it's almost an incestuous relationship of the individuals that are trying to deplatform and silence opposition on the YouTube platform. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty telling. So anyway, guys, check that out. Alternative Influence Network and that report that they did. Because actually YouTube, they did afterwards, they did stop recommending all the channels that was mentioned in this report. They actually stopped making sure that recommended videos start showing up in people's feeds that are not already subscribers to those channels. So they've kind of successfully pushed on that a little bit. But let's talk about that growth spurt that you've gotten as a consequence of this, though. You're actually almost up to 100,000 now. And you were, around 800,000 when this began?
Yeah, around 800,000. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but I think I might hit 1 million, which is crazy.
That's awesome. Hey, guys, if we have about, 1/8, 1/9 of the subscribers to our channel goes over and subscribes to you, you'll hit 1 million easy. So do it, guys.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we got to push that over. And then have you got your 100,000 little play button, I would assume?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it? Not a diamond. That's more. There's another level of button, I think, at 1 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a gold play button, I believe.
Oh, nice. So we hope you get that soon. But so you even thanked Bernstein on Twitter too. That was going around quite a bit. Good. Mm-hmm. So you've taken this as a true champ, so.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I don't know how I could take it any other way. I mean, the amount of opportunities and publicity he's gotten me is just crazy.
Absolutely. And of course, as you said, that's why some individuals are angry and upset over the fact that, no, don't bring attention to it kind of thing. But no, it's great. I mean, you're doing great work and just getting this out there and stuff like that. But there's this very sinister element to it, and we shouldn't lose sight of that they are actually trying to silence people and their viewpoints. And again, since you cater to a completely different audience, I think you help to open the eyes of a lot of individuals too, especially young people your age and whatnot. That's something which I think in their eyes is a kind of a dangerous weapon. So we're living under that kind of a authoritarian, really tyrannical kind of establishment, which is silencing any viewpoint and any opinion that they basically don't agree with or don't, that they find to be problematic for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're really trying to control the media because they realize, like, okay, now that we have the internet, the new generation is going to have access to so much information that they're going to find out stuff that we don't want them to find out, whatever narrative they're trying to push. They just have to be authoritarian in nature when it comes to culling the content, or else, you know, the kids are going to have access to stuff they don't want to have, you know, let them have access to. They're really trying to make sure that Gen Z comes out the way they want them to, you know, ultra left leaning. And that's, I hope, I'm trying to counteract that because I don't want them to be, you know, screwed over.
Yeah, good job. You're doing a great job. So what do you think about the channel in the future now then? I mean, obviously, we've been there too. Red Eyes got two strikes in a row, three months back, and it was literally hanging by a thin thread. And it was like, are we going to make it? You know, we're not as big as you. Obviously, we're around 315 or something like that now, 1,000. But that's a horrible feeling in a way. All the work that you put in, the years of making videos, the hard work, you know how much it takes to make these videos, and you guys produce them well as well. I mean, you're doing a green screen and stuff like that, and it's very well made. So how does that feel of knowing that it might be taken away from you at any moment, basically?
I mean, there's always alternatives. And yeah, Joe is trying to claim that I know that I won't ever be taken off the platform, but I don't really know that. I mean, at any moment, I could just get that next false strike from too much flagging, and I'm gone just like that. And I wouldn't, I mean, I might be a little bit disappointed or upset or something, but there's always alternatives out there. I mean, there's BitChute, and I feel like I have a big enough following that a good amount of people will move over to a new platform. And I mean, you know, I try to reach as many people as possible, but it is a goal of mine mainly just to be able to make a living off of it, because I do want to continue into the future, and I think that's going to be possible without YouTube.
Yeah, I think so. I'm very uncertain of the future on YouTube and different creators that, again, especially have a different viewpoint and bring something different to the table, especially if it's anti-establishment or dissenting views and stuff like that. We also can mention, speaking of this, that you said, I think, the Bernstein had contacted your father, and same with this Talia Levin. She's been stalking you as well, and she's been stalking some of our stuff as well maybe 6 months ago. And, you know, these people make a living, you know, essentially lying about people, just making stuff up, putting words in their mouths, misquoting them, assertions but just blatant lies and smear and stuff like that. And this is how they pay their bills, these people. And as I said, some of them actually, they come from platforms like, BuzzFeed, obviously, but Vice and previously Mick. And there's many of these kind of, they seem to be a little bit kind of alternative, if you know what I mean, but they actually have huge finance behind them. Article came out recently showing that George Soros had invested $250 million in Vice, for example, and the whole media group is actually in debt on top of it, right? So they inject millions and millions, tens of millions, in some cases hundreds of millions, into these alternative left-leaning platforms. They drive them into the ground, and then 2 months later, something new rises up with effectively the same kind of funding behind it. But what do you make of Talia Levin and the way she wrote to your dad, and you reposted the email on your Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this.
Yeah. These journalists are very predatory. I'm not sure how, but she got my dad's work email and his phone number, whatnot. I mean, she started off emailing me, and when I responded like that, I never got a response from her. But then she went on to my dad, tried to email him. I told him not to respond to her because I had researched her and realized that she was trying to smear me. And after a while of my dad not responding, I mean, she was just harassing him, you know, saying that he was supporting like racist, misogynistic, Nazi behaviors in me. There was another journalist where he didn't respond either, and the journalist after a while said, "You know, you're harboring a terrorist, right?" Like, it's like crazy stuff. I can find the name of the guy for you, but
oh,
it's just insane how these people work.
Yeah, I think your reply was hilarious. I'm not going to read it all, but it's on Soap's Twitter. Check that out. It's kind of funny, too. But notice, too, that it's a request for a journalist's book, right? So, again, these people get, like, six-figure contracts to write books about the alt-right and about these far-right dangerous people and stuff like that. Then they approach people and say, hey, I want to get the information out. Can you talk to me? And then if you do decide to talk to them, they lie about you. They smear you and misquote you. If you don't talk to them, they lie about you. They misquote you and they smear you. And mm-hmm. and this, again, this is how they pay their bills. And the fact that they're targeting you, these people now, a 14-year-old girl, which, again, literally could end up, God forbid, but it's like something happens or some wacko thinks that... you deserve, something that which you don't deserve. Do you feel like threatened in that way? Because that's, I mean, these people need to be held responsible in terms of what they're doing and that they're doing it to you, a girl your age, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's possible. I don't want to say too much, but they're trying to definitely get me in some serious trouble for the things that I've been saying. And I just think it's insane that they're pretty much getting paid to take down people like us in a more covert way because, you know, these big tech people can't be so obvious about how they want to clean up the internet and be authoritarian or else people would immediately strike back. So they have to fund journalists like these that will do the job for them and it'll look just like a natural thing.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your, let's talk about your goals a little bit in terms of, obviously you're restricted now then, unfortunately. Are you still producing and are you planning on uploading to like BitChute in the meantime? And then when, if you get your posting rights back on YouTube, you post those there. What's your plan now moving forward here?
I'm working on a new video, so that should be out by the end of the month if I'm not too busy or I think my upload ban will... be taken off by the end of this month, so I think that's possible. According to a friend of mine, it's supposed to be like 2 weeks if you get two consecutive strikes at the same time. So I don't think it'll be too long.
They lessened that a little bit. They did redo those rules. Yeah, that's true, because when we had it, we were like, we didn't have posting rights for over 2 months. And it felt
that's
like...
That's not good.
No, it's not good at all. And the whole channel dipped. You know, and because they stop, I mean, they've already, as I said, because of that alternative influence network report, they've already stopped recommending and stuff like that. But we've had to fight really hard just to kind of get back the normal kind of viewership. Like right after that, when we came back, we got not even 5% of the subscriber base that viewed the videos and stuff like that. So it does mm-hmm. hurt your channel, you know. But again, a lot of free publicity for you here, which is great, of course. And even as this tweet says, 863. I think it went up over 50,000 just that same day. And
yeah.
So now it's up to 939, almost 940,000. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's crazy how all these people say that people are like going down right wing rabbit holes and it's out of control and YouTube needs to do something because left wing stuff, just according to the statistics, gets recommended twice as often. And, you know, right wing creators are just hurt way more. There's clear double standards that exist on these platforms, and it's just crazy that people ignore them all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's already very disincentivized if you're not just flat out left-winger to be on these platforms because they've already demonetized most of these channels anyway to begin with. So most of these creators have to find other creative ways of actually monetizing their content if they want to do this full time. So it's already an uneven playing field. They give all the attention to them and look at it, how they push. And I know you mentioned it in a video too, but look at how they push someone like ContraPoints, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a perfect example of how they lift up those individuals, which I think is great, and just totally hold down. And still, I think on an average basis, if you would smash all the alternative media channels and stuff like that together, we still win. Mm-hmm. Way more. We still get more views than all the other channels that they're combined that they're trying to push on us, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, YouTube, about that monetization thing, YouTube emailed me. I'm not sure if they made the decision yet, but they emailed me saying that they were going to make a decision on removing monetization from my channel. They're probably going ahead and going to do that. I didn't get a response from them when I asked what exactly from my channel has qualified as hate speech. So I'm waiting on that. But it's just crazy that I think they unverified me, and I think they're severing me from whatever the partner program is.
That's horrible. Is there any remedy for you in that regard? I mean, I don't know again how good that was for. I know you're on Patreon, so that's still an option where people can support you, right?
Mm-hmm. I think Patreon is much better. I mean, my earnings were dipping a lot anyways. They pretty much reduce your CPM so that not many ads are playing on your videos anyways, so you can get 100,000 views and just a couple dollars off of that. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, let me actually bring up, there was a story here I wanted to show quickly, because this was pretty good. I saw Gab, you know, the free speech social media network, the alternative there, tweeted about it. And the White House, the Trump administration, actually launched a tool that you can go in and basically report your story of censorship. Did you see this? It was pretty good.
Yeah, initiative. I saw that. I tried to fill it out, but I guess you have to be 18 to do it.
Oh,
and
no,
I don't
that's
think
too
that's
bad.
Something. I don't think that's something you can really fudge if they're going to, like, follow up with you on that. So that's unfortunate. But I think it's certainly an interesting tool, and I think it's cool.
Yeah, I kind of see they're at the initial stages where they're beginning to kind of collect information to get hopefully some of the most, I don't know, maybe extreme and unfair examples that they can get as a way to fight back. Because, I mean, as I'm sure you're aware, I think Trump largely won due to the fact that there was a very powerful alternative media and different viewpoints out there that were pushing back against the establishment candidate. And unfortunately, I feel that Trump has let so many people down, and he hasn't really done anything to fight that. So maybe this is going in the right direction. And maybe, hopefully, something will actually come out of this that will actually have real-world results. And mm-hmm. because I think his political career is at stake if you want to get back in 2020. But what do you think?
Yeah, my hopes for it that is that it at least raises awareness about this problem, because older people are not really aware that it is such a problem. They think that mainstream media is very trustworthy, that social media platforms wouldn't even have that sort of bias. So hopefully more people learn about it, they start getting angry about it, and they start supporting alternate platforms.
Absolutely. wh.gov/techbias, guys. And I'm certainly going to submit our story. We were banned from PayPal without any notice. Again, and the environment now is basically where none of these platforms have any obligation to actually tell you what your transgression was, where your supposed mm-hmm. violation was in the terms of service or in the user agreement or stuff like that. They can basically just, boom, kick you off. And this is being done towards established businesses, towards people that rely on this for income and stuff like that. And you remember that crazy woman that went and showed up the YouTube headquarters, but they kind of buried that story. Remember that? She complained that her channel had been demonetized. And so in a way, they're creating these radical individuals by not letting them speak and have the same access to the platforms, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. When you alienate these people so much and you don't let them participate in discussions, that makes the more unstable ones very angry, and they might go out and commit violence like that.
Yeah, it's very possible, you know. So yeah, here, guys, definitely check this out. It's a very good initiative, and I hope it will lead to something. So we have a tremendous double standard. It's tremendously hard to be a creator if you don't sing from the same song sheets as the establishment and the globalists, pretty much. And what I find so great about you and your work here is if you've encapsulated or grabbed onto, I guess is a better term, that rebellious spirit that teenagers should have, you know. And this is something that in many regards have been used by what we, I guess, could refer to as our political enemies, or those that have declared us their enemies, rather. The left wing, the cultural Marxists and stuff like that was very, very brilliantly effective in channeling rebellious teenagers and stuff like that. But it feels to me that now we've kind of flipped, right? So now we're in a place where those who pushed these things back in the 60s, they did this by pushing such things as free speech. Remember the Berkeley movement and stuff like that? It began on Berkeley. There was like our right to speak, and we have to get our ideas out there. Now this whole paradigm has shifted so far that these people's views are basically the established views. And what do they do when new and threatening ideas come up? They become just like the people that they used to hate and resent, which is to suppress viewpoints, hold them down, censor them. And ultimately, so it's, isn't it evidence of a insecure and kind of a weak establishment, really? That they're so threatened by people like yourselves in a way. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish what you're doing. It's great. It is powerful. And they're correct in that. They're like, oh, we got to stop it. But I'm saying on the surface level, it's like, what are you doing? Like, just let these people speak, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like a scrawny 14-year-old. I'm like 5'2". What am I really going to do? Do I really pose a threat to the CEO of YouTube? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it is crazy how much the sides have switched. I mean, yeah, it used to be liberals who were the ones going heavy on their right to freedom of speech. We should be allowed to say whatever we want. We should be allowed to, you know, worship Satan, do whatever, talk about gay stuff. I don't know. It used to be conservatives who were the ones that were, you know, pushing against this. And it's flipped completely. Now the counterculture, what used to be the counterculture, is now the mainstream, and they're pushing against dissenting viewpoints, which is, you know, now the culture. What used to be the culture is now the counterculture. So it's really crazy.
Yeah, it has certainly flipped. It's unbelievable, you know. And so what's let's assume that, I mean, let's assume things go in a bad direction. No one is wishing that, obviously, but let's say that YouTube does issue a third strike and you lose your channel. What would you do at that point? Would you start another channel? Would you just go over to alternative platforms? Have you thought about this at all?
I mean, yeah, I would probably start, I would still have my Twitter at that point. I would redirect everybody over to BitChute. I think it would be good to get a larger viewer base over there so people can eventually, you know, jump ship when YouTube is completely burning down and uninhabitable. So that's the main plan. I mean, with I really appreciate everybody who's donating on Patreon, because that certainly secures things a little bit more, like even without getting ad revenue, like I'm still, like, you know, saving up for my future. So yeah, I the main plan is BitChute. I mean, if it's possible, I could go on another website or start my own website if that would even be an option, you know, communicate with other creators. Yeah, hopefully I could coordinate everybody to sort of move over. I mean, I've already sort of announced the BitChute, so people know that exists. And yeah, I would migrate and hope for the best.
Yeah, definitely. Here's the Patreon I'm showing right now. Have you gained any new Patreons since this happened?
Oh yeah, certainly. I mean, it's been going up a lot, and it's certainly cool.
That's wonderful. That's great. Absolutely. So BitChute, I mean, it's a great option, and I don't mean to diminish it, but the fact is, it's not getting at all the view numbers and counts that you get on YouTube, and I feel very much the same way, that they are effectively burning down their own platform. What was so wonderful with YouTube was that you could get all the things that you didn't get from the establishment. The best feature was you could literally go down these rabbit holes of information that you never heard about it for. You search for something new, you get a different viewpoint on it. You know, even if it was things like, you know, different views on like 9/11 or, you know, all these kinds of things. But this has become a huge problem for them now, where they say, well, these are dangerous conspiracy theories, and we have to kind of terminate and shut it down. But I've always held the view that, well, at the end, I think truth fears no investigation. The arguments, the data is what's going to stand at the end of the day, and it must stand the test of being questioned, right? And so why are they so fearful in people checking out a different view, even if they do end up believing it or not? That's aren't free if, and I don't take that view about 9/11, but I'm saying, aren't people supposed to be free to be dumb enough to be fooled by something, right? You have this correction officer that comes in now and say, you can't look at this information, you can't read about this because this is dangerous or something, whatever it is they say.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly suspicious, and the more you silence it, the more people are going to believe in fringe ideas, because they're going to think, oh, well, there's got to be a reason that the establishment doesn't want you to know whatever this thing is. And again, it's just, you know, alienating people, making them more extreme, shutting them off from the conversation, making them feel isolated. It's really not a good idea. And I think it's a really bad move for YouTube to change from this unruly, like, free place to express whatever you want to express to, you know, pretty much another just cable television channel.
Yeah, look, did you see YouTube TV, what they're doing there now with that? I mean, it's all just a mainstream, like, and again, even if you, I've done this test too. I've searched for direct, like, what the title is on videos that we've done on Red Ice TV. I plug that in, and usually I get 2, 3, 4 pages of results from mainstream media channels and other kind of, you know, whatever channels they're pushing until, like, the result came up for our video on any number of, and it's not just, like, the topic, one word. It's, like, the entire exact phrase. And these days, every time it's like CBS News and BBC and CNN and all these channels are coming up and they're listed first. And it's like, wait a minute, this is what you can get when you turn on TV. And now they're pushing this, you know, alternative to cable TV, basically, where you can subscribe to the service and you can watch all your favorite shows. They've removed the U out of YouTube and now it's them-tube, basically, again.
Yeah. I mean, I would certainly chalk it up to Google. Before YouTube got bought, they were really like a free place and didn't really care about censorship. And progressively over time, I mean, we have demonstrated that Google has clear bias. They said it in their own conferences, how much they hate Trump and all this stuff is very clear. So I think they're making moves to make it more restricted and sort of push the message that they want to push.
Yeah, you did a couple of, was that video about YouTube? Everything's just fine, right? You talked about this and many other things, I believe. I saw it a while ago and I can't remember it, but there was some great there was some great observations in there.
Yeah, I think I was talking. I don't know if so much about sort of like YouTube overlords as much as just like random copy strike stuff. It didn't have as much of like a notion of like, you know, free speech to it.
Yeah, it's some great. Yeah, see, there's the comments are disabled too. You know, for the video, and you said that that's probably for most of the older videos, or was it for the all the newer ones? You said
for when they made the decision, all the videos I already had uploaded to my channel got the comments disabled, but everything I uploaded after that had, you know, comments enabled on them, and you know. So,
okay.
Not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, it's strange. Susan, I think, has done a very poor job since she took over, especially judging from what people make of, especially the Rewind stuff. That's been kind of fun to watch. That Crash and Burn, the latest Rewind, which is supposed to be kind of like an accumulated condensed version of what the year was about, the biggest, newest creators and that kind of stuff. It became the most disliked, the fastest disliked video in YouTube history, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a lot of really bad decisions. They are only trying to appease the advertisers, and that just doesn't work in the long term. It's a very high time preference decision. They're just trying to sort of cash out and appease all the people who want to see more censorship. It's really not going to work. And they've introduced all these programs that are just flops. I mean, I don't know if even anybody remembers like that whole YouTube Heroes thing and you know, this different stuff. And so
cringe. Yeah, cringy stuff. They try to do it in different ways of staying relevant and stuff like that. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, YouTube has shot themselves in the foot. They've taken away the best aspects of it. And I don't know how long that can actually go on. And obviously that hurts all the creators in the long run, obviously. But I do hope for an alternative. I hope that there's individuals out there, creators or people with money and resources that see that there is a niche. Niche is what you call it. There's a aspect there that they can jump in on and actually build a really successful and I think even monetarily successful website as well, because as YouTube is phasing out the alternative voices and pushing all that stuff to the side, I think most people are going to want to be hungry for a site where they could go and actually get all those viewpoints still that are uncensored. But what do you think? I mean, I think it's just a matter of time before some option is going to show up and that's going to be the one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's only a matter of time until, I'd give it a few years, that's my prediction, until YouTube really starts taking a nosedive. I mean, I don't know, they've already lost, like, a lot of money, or at least Google attributes their $70 billion loss to YouTube, so that's I don't know if it's going to last much longer, because it was only recently that they broke even on that. So hopefully something else with a lot of funding is able to come up and attract a large viewer base and is able to support that. I've always thought of it as like, you know, creators like us should sort of, you know, band together to sort of make a new platform, because to have that succeed, you need a lot of people coming on at once, and like a large fan base so that people are willing to set up accounts there and sort of move over there to start watching content.
Yeah, absolutely. And you retweeted a lot of the people that came out for you. Of course, you mentioned Sam Hyde, Fuentes, Mark Dice, Nick Monroe. You were on Alex Jones' show, Dave Rubin, and stuff like that. So, Ramsey Paul, Sticks came out and stuff like that. So that's been great. A lot of I think that they've exposed their audiences to your material, and so you've really you know, garnered a name for yourself in this field. So that's great. Congratulations on that, and you know, keep up the good work. What else would you say in terms of like some of the things that you see? I know that that's a huge question, but let's say if someone from the outside is kind of looking in and they want to try to understand like what your concerns and your critiques are, if you will, about society and stuff like that. What do you see as a 14-year-old, the world, what direction we are going in today? And do you like, do you feel secure in the future that's being, I don't know what the best term is, constructed or maybe engineered for us to walk into?
I mean, I try to stay pretty like hopeful and, you know, stoic about it. I think that it will work out in the end. There probably will be a lot more conflicts, but I hope that people who are interested in preserving, you know, rights and freedom and liberty will win out in the end. I see that this will probably culminate in something big, some sort of, I guess you could call war, as censorship gets more extreme and there's more oppression of dissenting viewpoints going on. I see that there's going to be a lot of conflict spawned out of that. As for specifics, I don't really know. I mean, just, you know, every day we're surprised by what's going on and current events that I don't think you can really make predictions about what's going on in the timeline that we live in.
It's true. It's something more and more absurd every day that pops up. You think we've peaked, you know, but it's like, nope, it keeps going. What about your, I got friends and peers and school classmates and stuff like that. Are they kind of similar, like in some of the viewpoints, or is it really divided? Or what would you say generally? I know that I'm talking to you as a representative of your generation now, but you know, I don't speak too many with four. I don't speak much with 14-year-olds, and everyone is trying to kind of put the, what do you call them, like read the temperature, if you will, and see, oh, is it gonna continue going in this insane liberal politically correct turn, or is it, or are people going to rebel? Right, and again, take kind of on the energy that you have, which is basically rejecting this madness and saying, you know what, we're going to rebel against this, all this stuff that they're pushing on us, and go towards a different view. How would you explain that to us?
I mean, the way I see it on Gen Z is like people are usually divided by temperament, specifically how agreeable or disagreeable they are. And that usually is like a masculine versus feminine type thing. That's just usually how that distribution works. And I see like a lot of, feminine men on the side of the politically correct and a lot of females on the side of the politically correct and, you know, a lot of guys coming out in support of me and you know, and girls like me as well. That's sort of the split I see. I don't know if it's 50-50 or 75-25. At least in my school, I mean, it's certainly better in other parts of the country because, you know, a lot of Gen Z is conservative. So I would assume they support free speech. But here in California, I mean, even in California, you know, 50% are don't like all the censorship that's going on.
Yeah, that's good, you know, because I'm worried for the future and how things are going to turn out if people don't speak up and rebel, you know, again, because I think that those restrictions are going to lead to really bad things. And for those who historically, for people that know their history, they know that that's usually how it kind of begins. Restrictions in speech. And then when there are people that are continuing to dissent, the system, as it's getting more, I guess, insecure in its power and in its position, that's when it can be dangerous because the system and the individuals within it lashes out and they're trying to destroy those very critical voices and stuff like that. And it's really one of those, you know, H.C. Andersen, a Danish author, he wrote that good book called, I have the term in Swedish, but the saying from it is the emperor has no clothes, right? You point out the obvious. And it was only the kid that managed to do it, because it was only the only one that had, you know, the courage, I guess, to a certain extent, and also just the clear sight to see what it actually was. And wait a minute, he has no clothes on. Like, why does no one point this out, you know? So that's super important to have both young people doing that, but also individuals to stand up and speak out against that, because I think this maniacal, crazy system that we're seeing kind of being birthed out of the situation, I think that could turn really bad at the end if they continue to suppress people's opinions. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they try to, you know, make fun of people for saying this because I think it's so ridiculous. But, I mean, that's one of the first steps in establishing a fascist or authoritarian government. You restrict the free speech, and you restrict firearm access and infringe on people's liberties. And then you sort of, you know, take it from there. It escalates from there. So, yeah, that's just the way I see it. It's a really dangerous form of authoritarianism that is just, you know, fueled by their own views of their own heroism, and they think that they're on the right side of history and they're, you know, defending against the bad guys, whatever. So, yeah.
It's a good point, and it's funny because they accuse their enemies of doing the very thing that they're actually engaged in, which is to take it on a moral level and just be concerned. Well, we know that we are right, and therefore any actions that we take are correct, right? Mm-hmm. We're morally correct, and in that instance, a lot of damage could be done very dangerously. So now, I didn't want to get too much into, you know, your politics and stuff in this show. I wanted to talk mostly about the censorship and, you know, kind of how you view that moving forward and how you view the attack on you and stuff like that. But we'd love to have you back in the future and talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to let you go here. I know it's getting later as well. But is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with? Obviously, we want to plug your stuff. People can follow you on what we can mention, Twitter first. It's Sewer Nugget, at Sewer Nugget. We'll have that link up. And then, of course, also on YouTube as SOF, or I think it's youtube.com/ LT Corbin, was it? Lieutenant Corbin?
Corbis.
Yeah. Corbis, that's right. For the direct URL, we'll have that linked up too. But again, if you search for SOF, it'll pop right up. And then, obviously, people need to subscribe to your BitChute account, because if something happens, both your Twitter, of course, and your BitChute, that's where you continue to post material. So again, when did you say that? About a couple of weeks, the restrictions you believe are going to be lifted?
Yeah.
So anyway, look out for new material. But yeah, great having you here. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work. Anything you'd like to leave us with before we let you go?
I would just like to say that I don't like the political division so much. Like, the dynamic between the left and the right is very divisive. It makes everybody at each other's throats all the time, and it sort of makes people villainize each other and not see each other as humans in discussion and arguments. And I don't like, it doesn't really matter what side of the, you know, political spectrum you're on. I just think it's important to value free speech, and I myself am, you know, not the most like political person. So I just want to say that, like, it's mainly about not my views, just, you know, valuing free speech and letting people express the opinions that they want to express, because, you know, if you disagree with me, I'll let you, you know, I'll still let you speak. I mean, there's people I've had like conversations and debates with that are like, what, you like, you disagree with me and you support my speech? Like, I don't get that. And it's just like, yeah, I'm here to support free speech mainly.
Yeah, they're so used to, you not only want to shut them down, you want to, like, violently put them down. We've seen that, especially after the election of Trump, of course, but really violent left-wing activists have gone after a lot of people. A lot of violence has been done in that name, and that's very true. I mean, that is a very dangerous development, and that aspect seems to be gone for many people. They're beyond that point. That they're not done. They're done talking. You know, they want, like, action and stuff like that. And so that's going to – I think that, unfortunately, is going to, you know, kind of continue to escalate as a consequence of that, unfortunately. But again, that's why I think it's great that you're out there and doing that, because it shows that there are different views, and, you know, people shouldn't be so secure that they're on the right side of of the issues every time. Now, just, I guess, as a last measure here, the attacks that you did receive, do you think that they're, like, by saying you're far right and all that kind of stuff? I mean, I guess if you're not default left-wing to them, then you are immediately in their eyes, then you're far right, you're extremist and kind of dangerous and stuff like that. But some of the things that Joe put in there, is that fair, or would you classify yourself in a different way?
I just think they're, you know, like, boxing me off and using those terms to scare people off because they make stuff like far right immediately, like, it demonizes you. It's like, oh, that's dangerous. I've heard far right used to describe all these shooters. You know, what are they? It's sort of this, like, blanket term that associates you with, like, violence and hate and bigotry and all this stuff. And, yeah, I think it's unfair because, you know, what they believe to be far right is not at all what I am. I mean, I guess you could call me, like, libertarian maybe, but, yeah, I don't think that's... Because I, when they say far right, I know what they mean, and it's not at all who
right,
I am.
Right. And so, and I would say as well, and again, I don't want to get too over analytical because it's just, the content is just great as it is. It's a lot of humor, and obviously weaved into that as well. I think the critiques you're bringing are sincere and they're valid, obviously, but I do also believe that there's a lot of like intentionally like pushing the envelope, intentionally kind of trying to kind of, well, piss people off a little bit, I guess, too, because
yeah.
It's good for them to hear. So hear some of this stuff and stop being so thin-skinned, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
actually toughen up a bit and realize that there's like, there's going to be people out there that view things differently than you. And the way you go about it is that you just have to get used to the people not thinking like you and learning how to debate instead of just trying to trash them and destroy them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's my main goal is to entertain and you know, spur that kind of discussion. And yeah, I do try to be a little offensive in that way because I hope people stop taking themselves so seriously and they start getting more accustomed to, you know, offensive speech, because if they would do that, if they open their mind up to that, they wouldn't be so, like, you know, pissed off about it all the time. They would be more laid back and they'd be able to, you know, indulge in the jokes that they actually like, and they wouldn't have to put on this persona every time of this, you know, PC person. I just, you know, I want people to like let loose a little bit.
Exactly, I agree. It's so rigid and uptight, and you know, Jim Goat has this good saying that he's referring to these people as the new church ladies, right? Mm-hmm. They always used to kind of come down on Christians and that they're uptight and stuff like that. But many of these leftists, they've literally become the very people that they used to resent, and they're super uptight and. Now they're all of a sudden they care about, you know, language and stuff like that when they never have before, you know, which is kind of like stupid criticism that they levy against people like yourselves, of course. But I think the very tagline that you have on your Patreon is the reason why they're afraid of you, because you're helping to create a generation of dissidents and dissenting viewpoints. It's not something they want to have. They want to have an army of yes men and yes girls that just goes along with the establishment, whatever they want. And that's, I think, why we've seen, you know, things like the both those Parkland teens and stuff like that. They've been pushed in a very effective way to kind of continue to try to disarm, for example, Americans, right? They've been a very effective tool against the NRA and things like that, too, that they know that they can use kids in a very effective ways. And unfortunately, I think that they're so dishonest, the establishment in its current form, that they are very happy to jump on those opportunities and actually take victimized kids and using them for their own political gain. And that's, if anything, that's disgusting, frankly, to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of powerful people out there who don't want people to think for themselves, and I'm, you know, that's antithetical to the person who I am.
All right, wonderful. Great having you here, Soph. Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Keep up the good work, okay? And we'll have to
Thanks.
Have you back soon, and we can talk about some of the current stuff that's been happening. But awesome job. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, everybody, there goes Soph. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us. Really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there watching or listening as well. Of course, we do have podcast versions of our interview shows available at redice.tv and, of course, at redicemembers.com as well, our members' website. Make sure that you support us and sign up if you like the content. You get exclusive access to not only part two of most of the interview shows that we do. Not every one of them are two parts, but most of them are. You also get access to Weekend Warrior, of course, our weekly news roundup show that we do on the weekends to just go over some of the most important current stories and bringing some original research as well. Well-produced show. Definitely make sure you check it out. Then, of course, we do Flashback Friday. We have 314. We have a lot of other shows as well. We have the Blonde Buttermaker, Wolf Age. We have Impivara. and we're going to add on things to that catalog as well. But so thank you so much for watching, everybody. Great having you with us. Thank you for your support. And again, definitely make sure that you support Soph so that she can continue her work as well. We'll have a link to her Patreon down in the description as well. So we're not going to be doing Flashback Friday this Friday. Possibly not also Weekend Warrior due to the fact that we'll be at Ameren this weekend here coming up. So we'll be gone, but as soon as we come back, we'll get back on the regular schedule, of course. But again, thank you so much, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great one. Stay strong and keep on fighting. And with you guys' help, there's nothing that we can't achieve. See you next time. Bye.